Jesus, we thank you so. In your wonderful name, oh, that wonderful name, we just rejoice and give thanks. Thank you again for your love to us. It just is amazing. Surpassing anything we could ever imagine. Oh, but God, who is rich in mercy. He gave us you, precious Lamb, freely. Hallelujah. And Lord, we just thank you and rejoice. And Lord, we just lift you up. And Jesus, as only you can do, and by the power of your might, God, let us just see your Son. Let us just see him today. Lord, let us just be transparent. Lord, to truly just magnify him. Lord, that you would have your way. Lord, that you would open our hearts. God, that you would give us, praise the Lord, the word from your lips, from the very heart of your Son. And may we hear him say, I love you. We thank you for this, Lord. Thank you again for our precious family that you have given us. How delighted we are to be bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. How wonderful it is to be tightly fit and compacted together. Thank you for the wonderful supplying of the love of Christ in the saints. We give you all the praise forever and someday face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and turn to Psalm 63 this morning. We'll begin there. Then we'll head on over to 2 Kings. And I believe that's 2 Kings, is it not? Yeah, 2 Kings 22. So just be ready. But in Psalm 63, and that's what was so precious to hear, the boldness in that desire as they sang this morning. Verse 1, precious David, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. It has been so magnified on my heart all through the week. Be hungry. Be hungry. Stay hungry. Because you have got to be hungry to win. Thinking somehow you have no more need. Thinking somehow we're increased with goods. I'll tell you what, that's when the enemy will rob you from God's best. And it really hit me so sweetly as I was walking down the hallway in our upstairs. At the end of the hall, we have all these family pictures. And so many beautiful pictures of the generations that have come before us. And so many nicely dressed and smiling and all of these things. And then right there, kind of almost in the middle, were my grandma and grandpa Dorcio. And they weren't dressed nicely. It looked pretty much like they'd come out of the old Soviet Union. And if you can kind of get what I'm saying as far as how they were dressed. Just so minimally as far as just tattered clothes. They had nothing. And they were poor. But that nothing put a fire in them. That nothing in that poverty put a hunger in them that they would be hungry when they saw a promise. And there was a promise that they saw, naturally speaking, to come to America. And in that promise of hope, there was nothing that was going to stop them. And the Lord stopped me there in the hall, and I was thinking so sweetly, that's just like us in Christ, Lord. Truly understanding how poor and bankrupt and dead we were. It puts a fire in us. It puts a fire in us of thankfulness for the mercy and the grace of God. The fire, praise God, that would even grow as it's growing today in them that believe, for the opportunity to gain the riches beyond imagination. because of his undeserved love. Now, going on a little bit with my grandparents and their families, they arrived in America. They landed in the land of opportunity. And here they saw such opportunity and such a delight, but yet they were met with so much hate. And that's the truth. They were met with a lot of, I would even say, violence. They were bruised and bumped along the way. My grandmother's uncles, I should say my grandmother's brothers, excuse me, my uncles, they even had to change their name. We still have a large line of our family, and their last name is not Odorcio, it's Coffee. It's kind of funny, but I've got coffee relatives. But they had to change their name because they had all these aspirations and this hope to come in. And we always kind of joke a little bit that my grandmother, she saw the Napa Valley and my grandfather saw Pueblo. And so they went down to the steel mill, and that's where he saw the fortune. But all those brothers and he went down there, and they thought they were going to get work. Well, they were sadly mistaken, because being Italian, you couldn't work in the steel mill, not at that time. So they did have jobs for them, but they weren't there in the building with the people that could be in the building. They had to go to the mines, and they had the coal mines where they would get the coal out of to go ahead and have the power to run the plants to melt the metal to get the steel. So they took them down there and said, well, here's what we can do. When the mules get tired or when they get sick, you all can pull those mule carts out of that mine. But it still didn't dash their hopes. They still believed in a dream that they had, that they could somehow come out of a lot of the things that they had left Europe for, left Italy for, and they didn't quit. They didn't let anybody stand in their way. They weren't going back. Nowhere else could the dream be made real, they thought in their hearts. And they stayed hungry. They stayed hungry to make it happen. And I'll tell you, honestly, with tears in my eyes, looking at my grandmother and my grandpa as I saw that picture, and that was a Sunday morning before I came to church last week, I thought, where am I? Where am I? Am I hungry like that? Am I hungry like that for the things of God that can't be compared with what they were seeking? But God divinely brought them there so I could be here at this moment today to preach you the message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and to encourage all of us, brothers and sisters, stay hungry. Be hungry. Get insatiable, praise God, and stay that way. The one quality of the full overcomers in Christ, they couldn't get enough of the promises of God. They never got tired to see his promises. And there's something about seeing the promises of God. You got to be made weak. You got to be in situations that are way beyond you, to where you have nothing else to look at but the promise from the mighty hand of God. That I will not forsake you. That I will not leave you. That I haven't brought you out here to kill you. I've shown you time and time again. But I brought you out here, praise God. Not to just have you exist and to watch my miracles. I'm bringing you into the promised land. They could not get enough of Jesus, those overcomers. They had that insatiable appetite for the word of God. Whether it was Caleb and his great excitement, even as an old man, go in now and possess not just your inheritance. I'm going in now to possess my inheritance. You guys can wait, but I'm going. That's hunger. David, as we read here, and David, praise God, one verse stands out so marvelously. His heart panted as a deer for the water. It was delirious for God. His thirst and his hunger, as we read here, My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land. Oh, praise the Lord. I think he's making it easy if we'll just turn to the Word of God. How about Daniel? Think of this precious heart. He, praise God, wept because he wanted to see more of the glory of God. God showed him so much glory. God showed him divinely in a lion's den, all these different things that God showed him purposely for his life. But the greatest part wasn't just the miracle of the lions. The greatest part was he was showing him the very prophecy. Daniel knew, because God had put it in his heart, he knew he was writing mysteries for us. And that precious brother, nothing was going to stop him from praying. Nothing was going to stop him from worshiping the Lord. Nothing was going to stop him from his insatiable appetite for more of what God for him. It didn't matter what any king or anybody was going to say. We're going to kill you. Not if God has anything to do with it. And if you're going to think you're going to usher my entrance into heaven, if God allows you, I guess I could say thank you. But nobody was touching Daniel. God always had him. And praise be to God, Daniel wept as he wrote those things for us, knowing what was in there, meaning more. But he wept because the Lord shut it up and said, Daniel, I thank God how I've put a heart in you that craves for my word and my knowledge. But this is not for you. It's for them. Praise God, today at 1701 South Sherman. Hallelujah. And all those that want it too, praise be to God. But see, brothers and sisters, this is what is so wonderful. There was this insatiable appetite in their hearts for the Word of God. Just as the Apostle Paul, it was strong meat and nothing else. There was no other gospel. There wasn't anything else to talk about. I'm not going to waste my time, he said, or even give an instant to backing off of this. It's not going to be milk. By the grace of God, he's always got a table of strong meat for us. Why would we go anywhere else? Why would we ever turn to anything else? You'll read about the bride. You'll read about the Shulamite. She's got a very funny feature. She's got two sets of teeth. Think of that. He describes this woman so beautiful and everything about her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet and everything in between in great detail. And you're thinking, wow, that is a beautiful woman. Yeah, and she's got two sets of teeth. Now, no offense, but that would be a little shocking. So why do you think he's talking about them two sets of teeth with this Shulamite who is this wonderful type of the bride for us? Because she eats and she feasts and she wants his flesh. Praise God. She craves for him and wants to eat more all the time. Praise be to God. That's the word. Feast on it. Sure, as the word of God says, it's sweet to the mouth. It does get bitter in the stomach. It comes with suffering, just like my relatives. It was sweet to see what was the opportunity. And maybe they didn't foresee what was going to be. But I'll tell you what, there was a lot of suffering in it. A lot of suffering. But thanks be to God, and especially for my grandma. My grandpa even wavered. Kind of checked out. But not my grandmother. I didn't come over here to have babies that weren't going to have the best. Well, I'll tell you what, I think we're encouraged. We got a family here, and we're going to have the best. Amen. Praise be to God. Now, in 2 Kings, you over there on chapter 22, we're introduced to one that was starved for the Word of God, one of my favorites, probably yours too, little King Josiah. He had a daddy that hated God. He had a family line that really hated God. But I'll tell you what, he had a great, 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 great grandpa named David, who was a man after God's own heart. And the Lord showed this precious king that, you know what, I'll tell you, son, I'm going to put a heart in you that's going to be the same heart even as my precious David. And he did. And it was marvelous. But this little Josiah, he hungered after God. He became king at 8 years old. And God gave him a vision and a heart for the promises of God. It says in the Word of God, he was only 16 years old when he began to seek out the Lord. I can relate to that. The Lord always inspired my heart. But I'll tell you what, 17 years old in a parking lot, it all changed. And I'll tell you, young people, go after it now. You'll be so glad you let God do that in your life. But see, God gave him that heart to seek it out. And I see it much as my grandparents and my relatives. They were young and aspiring to get to the promised land. But it was in the 18th year of his reign. He was 24 years old. And I love that, 24. Praise be to God, the full overcomers of the Old Testament. It's a wonderful number. But he finally arrived in the promised land. And they found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. That's the promise. See, that word had been hidden, but they had found the book of law in the house of the Lord. And here was Josiah's reaction to it in verse 11 of chapter 22. Listen to this. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. He was so overwhelmed. He was beside himself. He panted after that word, praise be to God, and God delivered it. And God so sweetly gave him that heart that would respond and thank him and be ravished with it. And yes, this precious brother, I'll tell you what, he was ravished. And here's the proof. Here was the follow through. He didn't just hear it. Jump on over to chapter 23 and let's read verse 1. And it says there, and the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. So this king, this Josiah, as a young man, gathers all these ones together. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. You think this guy was serious about it? See, that's such a testimony. See, when it really is real to you, when you're really hungry for it, the appetite spills over to all those that are around you. Oh, yes. You want to be feasting on it all the time. And I love it. He didn't just give it off to somebody else. I'm going to read this. I'm going to read it right into your ears. I'm going to bring everybody in here, and praise be to God, we're not just going to hear the word of God. What did it say? We're going to hear all the word of God. Notice those little things. They're beautiful. You want to be ruling and reigning? Praise be to God. There's examples all the way through the word of God. And there's so many just wondrous qualities. And one of the greatest qualities, besides being hungry, is it's hungry for all truth. They didn't want just part. They didn't want to just go in and observe. They didn't want to just stand back and look at the glory. They had hearts like Elisha that didn't stand back and say, I'm just going to watch it happen. He said, I want to be in it. I want it happening to me. I want that double portion. That's passion. That's desire. That's hunger. And praise the Lord. It's not, well, you're either born with it or not. No, by the grace of God, the Lord says, I want you to have it. This is the heart that I have for you, that this would be something that you would take. He's ready to give it to you. But will you ask him? Will you be sincere and say, Lord, I want to desire your word. I want to have a longing. I want to have a heart that pants after you. And I'll tell you what, one thing about him, You sincerely ask, he'll give you that heart. You think you were just born that way, you don't have that heart. You're fooling yourself. This has to be the grace of God that's with you every single day. We're all born the same way, born in sin and shapen in iniquity. There's no thought of God. It has to be his grace. It has to be his mercy. And when that continues to be impressed upon your heart, you become thankful all the time. You become a fountain of thankfulness all the time that just bubbles over. Your life lives but for the grace of God, but for the grace of God. I look at all of this disaster. I look at all of this hate. I look at all of this confusion. But for the grace of God, I'd be in every single place of it. I'd be participating in every bit of it. Every bit of it. But God, this grace and mercy. Now are we the sons of God. Our citizenship's not here. Our citizenship's in heaven. I keep hearing and feasting on my life, which is the faith of the Son of God. That's my life. I grow up in that life. I become an awareness that I'm seated in the heavens in Christ. I walk through here, but I know where I'm seated. I function here, but I know where I belong. I know I'm not of this world. I'm not of this world, Christian. You're not of this world. The Word of God tells you specifically, if this is the first time you hear it, you better believe it if you know Christ is your Savior. He tells us that we're aliens. We are. See, when we accepted Christ, we died. And now the life of Christ lives in us, that beautiful life. Praise be to God, and I do ask the Lord, give you his mind. And his mind doesn't think in this realm. It doesn't. It doesn't function in this. It doesn't. It functions in the heavenly. I'm blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. I'm not blessed with all the earthly blessings. That happened to somebody else. A fellow named Esau. And you saw where that all went. God's using that same purpose. This is why there's such a hatred between the Jew and the Arab. I always remember that precious Jewish man. I loved him so much. And he said, I've had all these people trying to get me not to believe in God. And I've always responded to them, well, you explain to me why the Jews and the Arabs hate one another so much over just a little teeny piece of ground. If you can explain that any other way, then maybe I'll believe there is no God. And he said, you know what? No one could ever explain that to me. Now, Josiah found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. His reaction, he was so overwhelmed. His appetite, praise God, spilled over to everybody that was around them. His fellowship stood not in some of the Word of God, but in all of the Word of God. He was all in for all truth. Praise the Lord. It separates you out, doesn't it? It does. And you know that. When you begin to really go this way and to say, Lord, my eyes have been enlightened to this bridal truth, it takes you out from among the camp. And you know the camp is the family of God. It does. It just removes you from them that don't want that place. It was just like old Joshua. You know, Moses would go out there into that tabernacle and do his things. Joshua followed him right along. And he didn't like to leave there. He never wanted to come back to the camp. He loved just to be there to worship the Lord. Now, here is how wonderful the grace of God flooded this precious little Josiah. Such exceeding fullness that was revealed to him because he hearkened to all that was written. All that was written. See, Josiah was king of Judah. And there were those ones of Israel that were there. I mean, he was king. But God was disappointed. Matter of fact, there was wrath because Israel had turned away from God. And what had happened was, when Josiah had received this wonderful truth and turned to the Lord and hearkened unto God, these ones went and sought out the prophetess. And her name was Huldah. And it's so funny how the Lord just so blessed this woman to tell what she told to these ones to go back and tell the king. And what she said to these ones to tell little King Josiah: my wrath is kindled against Israel. And they're going to go in and they're going to face wrath. There's going to be judgment that comes upon them. But now read from verse 18 of chapter 22 and look what it says there. But to the king, she says, of Judah, this is Josiah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because, Josiah, thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest where I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. Oh, how I love that. Do you see it there? See this precious life, this precious king, because he embraced all the written word of God, he was spared. He wasn't going to even have to remotely go into that judgment. He said, oh, honey, I've just got peace for you. Now, let him speak to us. Amen. See, we're about at the brink, aren't we? We know the tribulation is about to begin. And here we have this same precious Lord in this great love that's been poured out to us. We have all the word of God. We have, praise God, even that mystery that had been hid and given to the apostle Paul, as he said, it was given unto me for you. And praise the Lord, it is specific in that mystery. It tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're not appointed to that wrath. That wrath is not for us, the wrath of the tribulation. We should not even remotely go into that. And the key is the same. The answer is the same that was to Josiah, which is the same answer to us. Will you hearken to all the word of God? Will you be hungry for this? Will you go after it? Will this be something by the grace of God that becomes everything to you? That it becomes your fellowship, that it becomes everything about your occupying. Is it what you talk about when you come to the people that you gather with? Is it truly your abiding? I understand we have to go out and we have to work in this life. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not telling you to cast your pearl among swine. Don't you do that. But I'm talking about when we do have abiding, when we do have Sundays, when we do have Wednesdays, when we do have Fridays. And by the way, there's a Monday, Tuesday, and a Thursday, and a Saturday in there too. Is it our abiding? Honeys, this is a rare thing. That gold, silver, and precious stone is mighty small. I've said it many times here recently, and I pray that we're listening to the word of God, not to me. There were only two that came out of Egypt. Only two of those, what, they believe 4 or 5 million? Two that went into the promise. They saw that little family hearkening to the things of God. His name was Noah. Only 8 went into that ark. What this witnesses to my heart when I see these things, just like with Josiah, the Lord didn't say, well, I'm going to spare 2, 3, 4, whatever. He said, I'm going to spare you. Do you see how precise this is? exact this is? This isn't just some coincidence. This is the Word of God. We come in here by the grace of God, and it's line upon line. It's precept upon precept. This is His counsel. You understand that? This is His counsel. This isn't just preaching. This is the counsel of the Lord. We've been called to the court. This is so sovereign and solemn. The authority, the noble, the elect. And I pray that we come in to this fellowship with that sincerity of heart. That's Paul saying, I have kept the faith. It's the keepsake of everything. It's the priceless jewel, praise God. It's the crown which thou hast that no man take. Ones that love mercy know their need of grace. If you don't know your need of grace, you don't love mercy. And I'm going to tell you the one thing the Lord loves. He loves His mercy. Amen. Matter of fact, He tells us very specifically, upon the vessels of mercy, I'll bestow the riches of My glory. And we've defined that in ways that God has opened up to us. The exceeding riches of that cannot even be compared. You couldn't even imagine. But it's not upon those that act holy. It's not upon those that think that they're accountable. It's not upon those that hold their Bible really high under their arm as they walk around. It's on My vessels of mercy. The ones that are hungry for grace and more grace. And we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. He said, I'll give grace to the humble, but the proud I see afar off. They have an insatiable appetite for grace. I've seen many in my lifetime not have many issues. I've seen many that seem to have nice things and maybe a nice bank account just nibble on the grace of God. I'll tell you what, I want to feast on the grace of God. I want to be so full and bloated on the grace of God that yet I'm still hungry. He's a glutton for it, praise be to God. That's what I want. And I want to feast with those that love to gorge on the grace of God. They're the best dining companions. I love to dine with you all. I really do. I do. Because I know you love grace. I know that we treasure together His mercy. I know that we really know we're not even seated here right now. But I love the lovers of grace. It always makes me glad in heart. I thank God for you. I don't like being around self-righteous, judging, condemning Christians. I don't. And the sad part is I've seen ones that had feasted upon grace for a time, but yet they begin to eat less and less grace. And you know, when you eat less and less grace, you know what finally happens? You finally don't even have an appetite for grace. I know Christians that act as if grace is putrid to them. So putrid that they even become an enemy of grace. And I'm very sad for them. Because it's such a dry and cold and heartless life. I love living like Jesus. Jesus loved seeing ones that knew that they were blind. He liked hanging out at places that people were stricken with a lot of different things that were kind of the outcasts. He loved that woman that had such an issue of blood that touched him. He loved that woman at the well that had a bunch of husbands and was living with somebody else. Those disciples said, "Oh my, what's Jesus doing with that Samaritan?" And he wasn't only with a Samaritan. He was with the less of the least of all the Samaritans. This was such a bad Samaritan, none of the other Samaritans would even be around her. But see, she was hungry. She was thirsty. She went out to the well that day. And she was so hungry, a man told her all about her. But there was something different about that man. He told her about her in love. He didn't tell her to condemn her. He told her, "You're beautiful to me. You're beautiful. You're lovely. You're stunning. They won't be with you, but I can't get my eyes off of you. I had to leave my friends because you were so lovely." And she responded the same way Josiah did. She ran home. And she told all about this man. Not that just told all that what she did, but how much he loves me. He's Jesus. He's Jesus. Ones like Ruth, they only want to glean in one field. Ones like Esther, they only want to listen to one voice. Ones like Caleb's daughter, when they're talking about inheritance to her, "I want both. I want the upper and the lower." I always remember when sweet Deion Sanders, you know, he's a brother in Christ. I loved that commercial. Can't remember how much money it was. They said, "Do you want a $10 million signing bonus or a $10 million contract each year?" And he said, "Both." And he got them. Can you say, "I want it"? I want that double portion because he wants it for me. And I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, these ones, they know that they don't deserve it. Nope. And they knew it. But see, the thing they knew is God chose them for it. There wasn't anything else. There wasn't anything else that he wanted them to have. And the difference was, is that they believed him. They believed him. They believed him. They believed him. And they took it by faith. And they just laid hold of that grace. Be hungry. Amen? Let's be hungry. I mean, be hungry. Speed up thy going, brother. Sluggishness despised. I'll tell you what, there is a mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I'll tell you what, by the grace of God, be hungry. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus. Thank you. Oh, Jesus. You shot a body. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Lord, we're almost home. Almost home. The glory is mighty thick. We know what your desire is. There's no doubt. We know what the hope of your calling for us is. There's no disputing it. Lord, you're dealing with us in such wonder and you're searching. Lord God, you're going through, as the word says, the seven candlesticks, there they are. Lord God, you're calling us out. Come out from among them. Come out from among them. God, help us to settle over there in that church of Philadelphia. Oh Lord, alive and remaining unto the coming of the Lord, there is no greater joy. There is no life more thankful. There is no life that spills over with mercy and grace and gratitude, Lord God. It just drinks of you in fullness. Lord, help us to make that move. God, and let it be today. Lord, to truly embrace and understand, God, you have given me the heart to have this. You've given me the ear to hear this. Now I take the grace. And praise be to God, that light switch has just been thrown on. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the love that does not let us go. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.